This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The Tsars once used remote Sakhalin Island as a penal colony. Thousands of Russians were exiled there. These days, the huge island is a major center of oil and gas production for multinational energy companies. But as NPR's Lawrence Sheets reports from Sakhalin Island, Russia seems intent on reasserting state control over the oil industry.
Sakhalin Island is 7 time zones from Moscow, so distant that in 1903 it took writer Anton Chekhov 4 months to travel here. Chekhov described Sakhalin as a godforsaken wilderness whose captive inhabitants suffered disease and gripping poverty. Later, the communists made Sakhalin Island a closed military zone. It was a secretive outpost for Soviet nuclear subs in the Pacific. Until a few years ago, foreigners would have been barred from here. Now a group of foreign companies is building an enormous liquefied natural gas plant, or LNG plant, here at a former port area along the southern coast of Sakhalin. It's part of a $10 billion project led by Shell, the single biggest foreign investment in Russia ever undertaken, and the biggest integrated gas and oil project in the world, according to Julian Barnes, spokesman for the consortium.
Nobody's ever attempted to do anything this big before. Two new platforms, onshore pipelines, onshore processing facilities, LNG plants, oil export terminals, all at the same time. It's a massive undertaking and it's unique, and that's a remarkable challenge to be involved in.
Tankers will ship the liquefied gas to Japan, Korea, and China. All three are struggling to keep up with their demand for energy. Altogether, oil companies have signed deals worth more than $20 billion to develop Sakhalin's reserves. But now, Russian authorities are demanding an extra $2.5 billion from the consortium. They accuse the group of hiring overpriced subcontractors, thereby eating into Russia's share of the profits. Andrei Nagibin of the Sakhalin Green Party says the very structure of the contracts is unfair.
The law under which these agreements were adopted is flawed and unprofitable for Russia and against the interests of the people of Sakhalin. The oil companies have enormous experience, and they had to have known these laws were not up to international standards.
Critics charge the foreign companies are working here virtually risk-free because the unusual contracts allow them to recoup their investments before Russia has a right to significant profits. But Vladimir Sarachan, editor of Sakhalin Island's biggest newspaper, says the critics are barking up the wrong tree.
We should make demands not against the international corporations, but against our own authorities. The multinationals work on the basis of the contract they made with the government. People see rich companies working here, and they want to squeeze them.
Government officials say the deals were signed when Russia was desperate for foreign investment. Therefore, they insist major concessions were unavoidable. At the same time, regional officials complain that most tax revenues are being taken by the Russian federal government and that they get only a small amount of money returning to Sakhalin in the form of subsidies. Jeffrey Volker of the American Business Center on Sakhalin says Moscow is trying to deflect those complaints.
Does Moscow want Sakhalin to be developed? Or does it want to take the assets out of Sakhalin and move them to Moscow? That's the real question. I think, unfortunately, we are currently leaning to the money, the funds, the assets being stripped and taken to Moscow. But I think that there's a good scapegoat, and the scapegoat are the international investors. It's much easier to blame them than it is to blame your federal government.
Volker says oil insiders here complain of constantly changing legal rules and capricious enforcement of regulations. But on an official level, at least, executives like David Greer, project manager for the Shell-led consortium, go out of their way to be diplomatic.
Other countries have changed their rules and regulations to suit national interests, but not to the point of shutting out majors completely. Put in Soviet shoes, Russian shoes, you can see why they do that. But does it shut the door on foreign participation? No, it doesn't. It means that you have to change your way of operating and maybe realign your expectations to allow you to continue working in these areas under the new rules.
There seems to be an intent by the Kremlin to reassert state control over oil, Russia's biggest source of income. The dismemberment of the Yukos oil company appears to be part of that drive. In the future, new rules make it likely that only Russian firms loyal to the Kremlin will be allowed to control oil projects like this one on Sakhalin. But analysts predict that with world oil prices at record highs, foreign oil companies will continue to look for new business here, despite the hurdles. Lawrence Sheets, NPR News, on Sakhalin Island.